Chapter 8. Peace at last. Hopefully. As Katami woke up the next morning, he immediately got to work planning out his new garden. Thankfully, this was a flat plain within this mountain range, so he knew immediately what to do. He planned everything out the night prior, before he fell asleep at his desk. Misaki had to bring him to the bed they kept in order to cuddle up next to him in slumber. Katami immediately moved forward with his plan to start regenerating the ground so it would be fertile again. As Katami was planning out the entirety of the garden, as per the usual for him, he kept something in the back of his mind. He assumed the SOM had followed him discreetly, knowing they would eventually attack this homestead again sometime soon. Even if chances were slim, he thought it could happen at any time. That said, he focused on planting a new garden, similar to the one he had in his previous homestead, knowing that he, Katsukun, and Misaki would end up needing to eat. For meat, however, Katami decided to find a farmer's market that had good quality beef, chicken, venison, turkey, and any other clean animals. Fox folk did not eat things such as pig, boar, dog, fox, cat, lion, panther, donkey, horse, armadillo. The list went on. Instead, anything that chewed the cud and fully part of the hoof, fish with both fins and scales, and bird that did not eat any dead things were okay for fox folk to eat. As Katami finished his farm, he spotted something way into the forest they were staying in. He got Misaki's attention, and when she came over, he pointed over to what he observed. He told her, "There's a good chance we are not alone here." In the distance, he spied with his eye a tiny little fox girl, full-blooded as Katami assumed, disheveled and just out of it. Her top layer clothes were torn, though her bottom layers were still intact. It was a good distance away, though they ensured they were far enough away from neighbors. Misaki took a look and noticed an insignia on the little girl's sleeve. She turned to Katami and told him, "She was under conditions we could not imagine."
"Conditions?"
Katami took a look and found the same insignia. It was of a phoenix rising from the ashes with two trees on either side of it. Katami's eyes widened and realized what this was. This little fox girl was branded with the insignia of the Toramox, meaning this little girl was being initiated into the group. Katami rushed towards her with great velocity, wanting to help the poor little girl out. As he reached her, he just picked her up and rushed her back to where he was originally. He set the girl down on a flat strip of wood and checked her for any signs of trauma. Meanwhile, the girl was terrified, face visibly churned in fear, wondering what Katami was doing. She turned to Katami and asked him, voice trembling with emotion,
"What are you doing to me?"
Misaki just placed a hand on the girl's shoulder and told her,
"He is checking you for any signs of trouble from the Toramax."
The girl looked up at Misaki as she spoke. Misaki continued,
"He had been a target of the Sons of Mahshela, a group antithetical to what this man believes."
The girl looked at Katami as he was inspecting everything normal, not too deep, as a result of what might have happened. He turned to Misaki and asked her,
"Could you check for any trauma that I am not willing to take a look at?"
She knew what Katami meant, as he did not want to seem creepy. Misaki gently took the girl and walked inside their shared shelter, so Katami would not take a look. He sat there, meditating with a quick regimen, in order to calm down. Once a few minutes passed, Misaki came back out with the girl, who was now in tears. Katami saw this and his face turned in anger. He looked at Misaki and told her,
"Find this girl's parents and tell them what happened."
He knew what was going on, judging by the fact that Misaki helped the girl to feel comfortable around her. Katami looked at the girl's eyes and said to her,
"We shall heal you as best we can. We just need to advise your parents first before we proceed."
The girl instantly knew what Katami was talking about. Her eyes widened in shock as she never heard her parents in a light such as this.
"No."
The girl was blunt about it.
"No?"
Katami was now confused.
"Why not?"
Now he was concerned for the little girl, as this was not normal for him. They are Tormac. She was blunt with it. She did not just say that her parents were Tormac, did she?
S.O.M.
Katami slammed his fist onto the wood he was sitting on, anger boiling over as if something just burst a pipe underground. He looked at Misaki and told her, "Find them. Destroy them at all costs. Let me do it if necessary. This girl needs saving," and she almost took the mark of destruction. The girl was mortified when she witnessed Katami slamming his fist onto the wood. She turned to Misaki, who gently told her, "He is a silent little one. His anger is righteous indignation." "A silent?" The girl's tears were starting to flow again as her voice was thick with emotion. "I thought there were no prophets anymore." "That was a lie from the Bishop of Westnith, sweetie." Misaki hugged the little girl tight. "That is who he was fighting against." Misaki pulled back slightly as she told her this. The little girl understood what Misaki was doing, but then turned to Katami, worried about what he would do in his anger. Misaki witnessed this and said to her, "He is a silent whose anger is taken out on the Didakaian mystery religion, the SOM, and their subgroups within." The little girl had no clue about this. She turned to Misaki and asked her, "Why is he called a silent?" Her curiosity was betraying her fear as she seemed to calm down, thanks to understanding Katami a bit better. "Are silent prophets like him open about what they teach?" "No, they cannot be, for they would be killed by their peers if they were open, especially him," Misaki explained. "His purpose is to let people who feel hopeless come to him, and he teaches them that way. I did this with him, and so did my brother, though we did not lose any hope." The girl's eyes widened as Misaki continued to explain the purpose of a silent, of which Katami was. As Misaki regaled to her how silence worked, usually in solitude, the girl's eyes showed her excitement that she finally met a prophet who was willing to help. Once Misaki finished her explanation and teaching, the little girl turned to Katami, rushed over to him, and hugged him tight. She thanked him profusely, as she was now cognizant of what Katami was doing. He just pulled her close and rubbed her back as she was crying tears of joy. She was finally able to understand that she was almost forced to take the mark, and thus was saved by Katami's quick wit, judgment, and understanding of children being in these conditions. As Katami comforted her, he looked Misagi's direction and told her, "Maybe it would not be a good idea to look for them. If they find us and ask for their daughter back, things shall go south." He sighed before continuing. "They shall say, 'What is this man doing with our daughter? Is he the son of the Creator, or is he not?' To which I shall reply with, 'I am a prophet of the Creator, and my purpose is to teach those who come to me, usually in solitude. I cannot teach just adults, but little children like her, to nurture them as if they had a proper parental figure. They will say to me, "This cannot be possible. She is our daughter, and you are stealing her from us." To which I shall respond with, "What is the purpose of you wanting your daughter back?" They shall answer with, "She is our daughter." I will ask them again, "What is the purpose of you wanting your daughter back? Are you not the people that wanted to force her into something incompatible with the Creator's law?" That will tick them off and cause them to attack me. Once attacked, they shall be taken out and murdered at my own hands. When one of their superiors come over here to compromise the place, he shall ask me, "What happened to the parents of that girl?" To which I shall reply with, "They were destroyed by the Creator, and he used me to cast the judgment against them. They have taken the mark of destruction, of which you have also knowingly done." The man will deny it and tell me, "That cannot be true, and you know that," followed by some insult thrown my way. Methuselah might cause me to get into an angry state and destroy him, as he shall reject the ghost. Once the ghost is rejected, I destroy him with either the Creator or Methuselah when they tell me to, of which I shall go ahead and mercilessly kill him, as he shall not be repentant for his actions. It will be another sacrifice for Westnith, as they say.
Misagi and the girl stood in shock. The little girl hugged Katsumi tightly while Misagi just stood there, not knowing how to process all of that. Did Katsumi have a situation on his mind and anticipate something like this happening? Was this something he was just ranting about, as he always did? Or was it something else entirely? Only time could tell for Katsumi if what he said was exactly what either Methuselah or the creator was planning for him and Misagi. Katsumi sighed and told her,
I have a sinking feeling that might be happening. They want me to return their slave to them, for I shall protect her. Harshly. They have no right to control the child if the relationship was abusive.
He looked into the girl's eyes and inquired of her,
Have you felt as if you were not under your own motor control, but that someone else was a puppeteer for you?
The little girl's eyes widened in shock, though she looked down after a moment and murmured,
Yeah, I felt that way, and I was that way.
Were these signs to you that something stunk to the depths of the underworld?
Katsumi was asking her questions and using the set-apart text as a guide on how to ask these questions. The girl nodded, confirming that was exactly what happened.
Did your parents admit any responsibility for their actions? Or did they shift blame away, the way they learned from Donatoria the 12th?
Katsumi wanted to make extra sure he was asking the right questions.
Who is Donatoria?
The girl was confused by this, as Katsumi just asked about something she likely had not learned.
Those wanton molesters.
Katsumi muttered under his breath before looking at the girl in disgust. He attempted to be gentle as he told her,
Donatoria the 12th is currently the anti-Messiah Beast Bishop of Westneth, as his image is the mother of Methuselah, of whom is used as a goddess in their disgusting religion.
The little girl's eyes widened slightly before she told Katsumi,
I never learned about him like that. Who is the false prophet?
Katsumi sighed and looked at Misagi. He then inquired of her,
Who is the current superior general of the Sons of Mahshila?
The false prophet is my former boss, Buriyak Monotarityo. He goes by the name Black Bishop Buddha, as he is called the Black Bishop of Westneth by people who despise him, like Katsumi.
The girl had no idea about it at all. As she asked as many questions as she could about this, Katsumi and Misagi attempted to teach her to her level of understanding, as she could not have been younger than 5 or 6 years of age. Katsukun was nowhere to be found, as he was out and about doing things for his shelter, of which he decided not to share with Katsumi or Misagi, knowing that they were married. The little girl, meanwhile, attempted to understand everything they were saying, though it took them some time to do this. What they were doing was destroying the little girl's programming so she could live a better life, especially since she was to become a slave to the SOM. Neither Katsumi or Misagi wanted that, and yet they could not do this to the other children, as they would just tell their parents, who would just kill the two of them, especially Katsumi, since he was undoing their programming. The Didakaian mystery religion was the biggest cult in the world, with millions, if not billions, of members coming from all kinds of forks, and all walks of life thereof. To wit, there were over 50,000 forks of the Didakaian mystery religion, which changed in subtle ways, all the way to massive changes where they were not Didakaian in the slightest. All life forms were supposedly under the Bishop of Westneth for over 800 years, as there was a bull called the Holy Decree. This was the bull that made everyone around the kingdom lose spiritual and religious freedom. This bull was never reversed since, as it took a lot for it to be repealed. It was almost impossible to do it, and doing so with common law was difficult. Despite this, what Katsumi was dealing with was something he thought was placed in his path. It was only natural for something within this regard to fall onto his lap, especially since he needed to teach more and more as a silent. Everyone who would listen to him would eventually attempt to kill him if he were not a regular prophet. He was forced into being a silent as a result of becoming a true prophet of the Creator. Even the little children would need somebody like Katsumi in order to learn and grow into adults of the highest levels of society, of which Katsumi was, technically speaking. He was just not mediocre enough for the SOM, of which they wanted so badly to do. As the little girl started to understand almost everything that even children of Katsumi's end-time school of thought knew the basics of, she grew more comfortable with Katsumi. He had no intentions on doing anything, unlike her parents, whom Katsumi now knew were doing horrible things to her. The purpose was to make this poor girl submit to them and join the SOM, of which would cause her to take the mark of destruction. It certainly took some time before she just started to get it, for the most part. As Katsukun returned in the evening, he saw the little girl and went back to what he was doing. He was going to ask Katsumi about it in the morning anyway, as he was already too exhausted to do everything other than just organize everything he needed to, and then rest his tired bones. Katsukun got a lot of things for his particular shelter that Katsumi recommended based upon his experience. Katsukun, meanwhile, had gone to work on that as Katsumi and Misagi taught the little fox girl what Katsumi learned as a silent. The next morning, Katsumi and Misagi woke up earlier as normal and started brewing their tea. Meanwhile, the little girl came out to join the two of them. She, of course, cuddled Katsumi, though he was caught off guard by this. After realizing the innocence she was exuding as a result of what Katsumi was teaching her, he just pulled her close. The little girl, whose name was learned to be Kurisana Aiko, looked up at him and asked him, "Did you sleep well, Katsumi?" He shook his head and sighed, "Nay, for I had a nightmare so drastic, I could not fall asleep." Misagi leaned herself onto his side and rubbed his back. She turned to Aiko and regaled her, "Katsumi had a nightmare that was not normal. He told me that he had a witch or warlock targeting him for this type of thing. The long and the short of it is that his dreams get hijacked by an SOM witch or warlock, and they turn into nightmares due to the magic they use. It is a form of torture he has to deal with every once in a while." Katsukun then came out of his shelter and sat across from Katsumi. He looked at Aiko before looking at Katsumi. He asked Katsumi, "Where did you find this girl, Katsumi?"
"She was alone in the forest, marked with a Tormach insignia."
Katsumi sighed before continuing.
"She was abused by her parents, considering the fact she was forced to take the mark of destruction."
He looked at Katsukun before revealing,
"This is what the Creator is doing through little Aiko, as he is finally giving me children to teach. I knew it would take some time for one to be shown the path from Methuselah."
"Did you not talk about silence being the best teachers for children?"
Katsukun was attempting to jog his memory.
"I recall you telling us about children and how they were to be taught by silence like yourself, since they were of the historical school of eschatological thought."
"You remember well."
Katsumi relaxed before continuing.
"I did talk about how silence were the best teachers for children, as only historical eschatologists could become silence, of which I fit the conditions. Children taught by silence were, on average, more in tune with the Creator than those who believed in a future or past anti-Messiah, of which that was anti-Messiah worship in and of itself."
"I thought you talked about that."
Katsukun sighed, finally glad he remembered Katsumi talking about it. It did not take long for Katsukun to remember anything. As Katsumi was pouring the tea, Aiko looked up at the moon, of which was in the sky during the day this morning. She pointed to it and said to Misaki, "Look!" Katsumi looked up, and behold, it was a full moon.
"My, how that comes quickly."
He turned to Aiko before regaling to her,
"This is our day of rest. We lost it years ago with a calendar that was forced onto fox folk thanks to a decree made by the Bishop of Westneth at the time, Artoriad the Sixth. He made the Artoriad calendar, of which is a false calendar with calculated days of rest. This is taking the mark of destruction on the right hand."
obeying Artoriath the 11th, who is the current bishop?
Aiko might have been confused, but she pieced it together pretty well regardless.
Yea, exactly that.
Katami sighed before continuing.
It does not matter who the Bishop of Westneth is. Following what that office says is truth is enough to take the mark of destruction on either the forehead by revering him or on the right hand by obeying him. Artoriath the 6th was the one who instated the Artoriath calendar, however, as he was the anti-Messiah Beast Bishop of Westneth at the time. We lost the lunar days of rest as a result of this law, as Westneth is the final kingdom until Judgment Day arrives. This one rules for a long, long time.
If Westneth is the current kingdom in the set-apart texts...
Aiko looked down to gather her thoughts for a moment before looking up at Katami again.
What were the other kingdoms that ruled over the Foxfolk?
Those would be, firstly, Antodella, of which was like gold. Next was Mumobo Tunadella, of which was like a bear. The size of the armies in this kingdom were massive, enough to intimidate any of their enemies. Next would come Romenatox, which was the leopard kingdom. This one had armies quick enough to outsmart their enemies. This is the kingdom that lasts until Judgment Day, of which had not come yet. I do not believe we shall see that kingdom's reign come to an end in our lifetimes.
Is our planet almost 12,000 years old?
Aiko was curious about the calendar, of which was used for over 12,000 years by the Foxfolk, who still did not stray from Methuselah's teachings.
Yay, almost. I believe we are around 300 years from Judgment Day, of which will be the Day of Atonement, if I am not mistaken.
Katami sighed deeply, gathering his thoughts before continuing.
If I am not mistaken, the Day of Trumpet is Methuselah's return, followed by Judgment Day, of which is the Day of Atonement. This is on the 7th month on our calendar.
Was the Day of Trumpets always on the new moon of the month?
Aiko was attempting to recall something she learned.
I heard it was always on the new moon of the 7th month.
At least you were taught our calendar well. Katami looked at Aiko before continuing.
Yea, it is the new moon of the 7th month on our calendar.
He sighed before saying,
at least that was not corrupted on your end.
I followed a 7-day count, of which you said was fake.
Aiko revealed that just casually.
You... what?
Katami's eyes started to bulge in anger.
They taught you the calendar they forced down your throat?
Aiko looked down and nodded.
Yay, they did. I escaped that since I thought they were going to sacrifice me.
I thought they would attempt that.
Katami looked into Aiko's face, asking her,
did they even attempt to do it in the past?
They have, but they always failed, as something stopped them from sacrificing me for disobeying their lawless commands.
Aiko started to cry a little as she remembered these traumatic events in her life. Misaki pulled her into a hug and comforted her in the process.
No wonder they molested you in the past.
Katami knew something was off about what happened to Aiko.
They were grooming you to accept the death at their hands, for the SOM needed some young blood and adrenochrome. Unless you joined their affiliated groups, of which the Tormac Brotherhood was one of.
This made Katami want to protect Aiko that much more.